I'd like to speak to you on the subject of where you're going, heaven or hell. Life is made up of many choices. What to wear, what to eat, where to go, what to do, whom to marry. Some are trivial and insignificant. Some are important and life-changing. The question that we have at hand this morning is very important, a very important question. There are only two choices on this matter. Two options, heaven or hell. Neutral you cannot be. Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 30 brought it before the people when he said, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Jesus clearly stated the two options in John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The word believeth translates into everlasting life and to heaven. The words believeth not translates into damnation and hell. Now, I'd like to speak briefly on the subject of heaven and hell. First, I'd like to speak on the subject of heaven. Now, the Bible talks about heaven. Frequently, Jesus talked much about heaven. While on the earth, he refers to it 17 times in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. He refers to it 70 times in the Gospel of Matthew alone. He constantly put it before the people, before the disciples. Heaven, heaven, heaven. He wanted them to know about it. He wants us to know about it. He wants us to think about it. He wants us to long for it. And he wants us to get ready for it. He wants everyone in the whole world to come to heaven where he is. When people move to another state or nation, they try to find out all they can about it. The land, the climate, the government, the neighbors, all the information they can possibly gather. And even then, when they get there, there'll probably be many surprises. And that's what we're doing today. We're discovering what heaven is like. And we have only a limited time, and I'm not able to say very much to you. But the Lord, give us information about it. I believe if we're faithful to the Lord and we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, when we get there, we will say, the half was not told me. Oh, the glories of heaven the prophets have spoken, and the poets have sung, and the preachers have preached. But there is extreme poverty of language when we attempt to discuss a subject like heaven. Now, the glories of heaven and the blessings of heaven are brought before us in a number and a variety of representations in the New Testament. One of it is a country. It's a country. Luke 19:12, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and return. The nobleman in this parable is Jesus Christ. The far country is heaven. Hebrews 11:16. But now they desire a better country that is in heavenly. It's called a heavenly country. And as I said a bit ago, when we go to another country, we talk about it, we plan for it, we think about it, we pack, and we get ready to go. And when you go to this other country, they say, we'd like to see your passports, please. Passports. What are our passports for our right of entry to heaven? We must have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to our life. That's our passport. When a person believes, the Bible talks about the seal of the Holy Spirit. The Lord knows them that are his, having this seal. It's the Holy Spirit. We need to have our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is our passport to get into this heavenly country. This country is a real place. John 14:2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. God Almighty used 6 days to create the sun and the moon and the heavens and the earth and all that in it is. Beautiful, wonderful. He's been gone for over 2,000 years. Now, I am not insinuating to you that Jesus Christ is using all this time in preparing a place for God's children. But it is a blessed thought if he made a world in 6 days, what do you think he can do in 2,000 years? It'll be wonderful. This country is a real place. Yes, it is. He's preparing this place. He will have everything ready for the longing soul. It'll be Eden restored. It's a glory world. Our song, a tent or a cottage, why should I care? They're building a palace for me over there. Life is an anteroom, 80 years. It's only an introduction. Well, understand that the devil likes to throw a smoke screen over us and make us feverishly interested in spending all our energies to acquire houses and treasures and lands and stocks and bonds where moth and rust enter in and they corrupt it. But God says life is not for that. We're here to be strangers and pilgrims. We're not to be satisfied with earthly pleasure, but we're here to get ready to meet God. It's also described as a city in Hebrews 11, 16b. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Now this would speak of the large number of inhabitants in this place. It is a city that is permanent. This city is incorruptible, and it fadeth not away because its builder and maker is God. Bible says in Peter that he gives us an inheritance that fadeth not away. Babylon, years ago, was a great city. Several hundred square miles. Walls around it were 344 feet high and 86 feet wide. Built by men to be indestructible. You try to locate Babylon today, there's nothing left. But what God makes in heaven is permanent. It's called a city holy. Revelation 21, verse 2, called the holy city. God is very particular what he allows to enter into this holy city. That's why we preach against sin and corruption. That's why we need Jesus to get rid of all our sin so that we can be prepared to enter into this holy city indwelt by the holy God and the holy saints and the holy angels. It's a holy city, and I know you could go and visit anybody on the street, stop people, and ask them whether they'd like to go to heaven when they die. Most people would say yes, but there's a few brazen souls that would say, no, I want to go to hell. They don't know what they're saying. But you take an ungodly man and all of his lusts and all of his sin, all of his wickedness, and has a heart like the devil, and you take him up into heaven and sit him next to a holy God, holy Lord Jesus, and the holy saints and the holy angels, he'd look around and be extremely uncomfortable. He'd probably say, get me out of this place. I don't belong here. So heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. The holy city, yes it is, conduct that is excluded in Revelation 21, 27, Bible says, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or worketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. Oh, if you're not interested in holiness, forget about going to heaven. It's also a city international. Great population, every kindred and tongue and nations, black and white and red and yellow. Bible says in Revelation 7, 9, it says there, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Great verses there. Bible says in Revelation 5, 11, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands Now, in comparison to those that are lost, there won't be near as many in heaven. Bible is very clear on that. It's also called the city redeemed. City redeemed. In Revelation 21, 12 through 14, and they had a great wall and high and had 12 gates. At the gates, 12 angels and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, on the west, 3 gates. And the walls of the city had 12 foundations, in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The reason I'm bringing this in is, who were the 12 sons of Jacob? Who were these patriarchs? Well, they were failing men. They were sinful men. They were men of weakness. Who were the apostles? They also were blundering men, failing men, sinful men. And I believe these men are listed here to show us these are representative men and reminding us that this is a holy city and it's filled with people that are redeemed from sin. Those are the people that occupy heaven, are the people that have been redeemed from their sin. They all need Jesus. And the east 3 gates and the south 3 gates and the west 3 gates and the north 3 gates, they indicate easy access. You can come from all directions from all over the world into this holy city. Also, it's a city beautiful. In Revelation 21, 15 through 21, not going to read those verses. You can look them up. The rainbow colors of the foundation stones, the walls of jasper, the gates of pearl and the streets of gold, these all speak of the wealth and the glory and the splendor and the perfection of this city. The description conveys the idea of a beauty that defies all other methods of expression. It's also a city of great dimension. In Revelation 21, 16, it tells us there the city lieth four square. The length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. That translates into 1,500 miles, a four square cube. One idea that comes through, I don't know whether the Lord wants us to bring out figures or not, but it gives us the idea of an unlimited space and of the joyous vastness of this city. 2,250,000 square miles on one floor. London, England was 140 square miles. The parable of the Great Supper, they said, go and invite the people to come in and partake of the supper. And they came back to the Lord and they say, we've done as you commanded, yet there is room. So there's plenty of room in heaven for everybody. We can come in ourselves through Jesus Christ. Then the idea here is go out and invite your brother and your sister and your mother and your father and your aunts and your uncles and your friends and the whole world. The idea comes through overwhelmingly. There's room, 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 room in heaven. So you can come. I can come. Thank God for that possibility. It's also described as a kingdom that suggests its orderliness, an everlasting kingdom. If you're going to enter this kingdom, you must allow the King, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, to rule over you. Does the root of Jesse rule over you? That's the question. If we qualify for this kingdom, we must allow that to take place. Also described as a paradise because of its delights, called the Father's house. And again, it speaks of permanency. Everything's all right in the Father's house. It's the life on the highest plane. It's the home of God and his people. That's where we want to be, and I'm sure that's where you want to be through all eternity, and we'll have all eternity to do what we want to do. There's a scripture in Revelation 21:4. and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And the Bible has much more to say about heaven, but we'd like to speak just briefly on the subject of hell. Bible says in Revelation 20:15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Bible also says in the 9th Psalm, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Now there is a saying that God doesn't send anyone to hell because they choose to go there. That's half truth. God does send people there only after they've chosen and decided to go there and manifested a nature that belongs there. And the wicked talk about hell. They use that term in their everyday language. Go to hell. They say hot as hell, cold as hell, really give them hell. These are terms we hear on the street. They know it's a place of suffering. A man came flying into Gary, Indiana, across those vast steel mills of Gary, and there was smoke and fire belching out of the chimneys. And the man said to the passenger next to him, he said, "It looks like hell, doesn't it?" When I was young, there were terms used as well, movies. There was a movie, To Hell and Back. And there was a movie, City of Hell. Remember Hell's Angels, Hellbent for Glory, Hell and High Water, and the Wicked Go to Hell. Now there's more written on hell in the New Testament than heaven, and hell is something to seriously and soberly consider. Some say it's just a myth. The thing has died out long ago. Intelligent people don't believe in such a thing as hell. But the Bible says it. I didn't coin these phrases. I didn't come up with these scriptures. But the Lord God penned them years ago through the inspired writers. Now, where is hell? Where is hell? Bible says in Matthew 11:23, "Thou Capernaum shall be brought down to hell." This, along with many scriptures in the New Testament, indicate hell is down. Some think it is in the center of the earth. Heaven is up. Bible talks about that. Heaven is up, suggests effort. Hell is down. It doesn't take any effort to go there. No effort. It's easy to go there. Go and do your thing. Live as you jolly well please. It's the way of least resistance. Hell is at the end of a Christless life. Matthew 7:13-14 says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat, but straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it." So the scripture there indicates, and we've already alluded to it, many are going to hell, and few are going to heaven. So if you're following the crowds to do evil, you're obviously on the wrong road. The call of God this morning is to repent, turn around, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, follow righteousness and holiness, and you can escape the damnation of hell. Now we like to think a bit about the description of hell in the Bible. These are all biblical terminologies and scriptures. It's a real place, as heaven is a real place. Luke 16:28, the lost rich man was suffering the torments of hell. He said, "Go warn my brethren, lest they come to this place of torment. It is everlasting." Now, there's some people think hell will burn out, but the same word is used for everlasting hell as is used for everlasting heaven and for everlasting life. And for God that is everlasting. So if hell's not everlasting, neither is heaven and neither is God. So you can expect God to die any day. No. No, God is everlasting. So we conclude by that. It is a place of everlasting torment. It is everlasting. Place of the damned, the Bible says. It's a place of weeping and wailing. It's a place of sorrow. It's a place of torment. It's a place of gnashing of teeth. It's a place of memory. It is a bottomless pit. It is called outer darkness, a place of destruction. It's called hellfire, lake of fire, everlasting fire, lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, a furnace of fire, and it's a place where the fire is not quenched. Now let's think about the inhabitants in hell. In Revelation 21:8, says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. This is explicit language. And many of you may be saying, I'm not as bad as all of them that are listed. But if you're an unbeliever, you qualify to go to the same place than these others that were listed there. Matthew 25:41, Jesus said, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. The devil and his angels will be there. And all that choose to go the way of cursing. Jesus never cursed anyone, but he says, depart from me, ye cursed. They already chose the way of cursing. So Satan will be there, the vile of all ages, fallen angels, the Antichrist, the false prophet, the harlot, and the whoremongers, and the adulterers, and the atheists, and the convicts, and the idolaters, and the hypocrites, and all other perverts that have never repented. That's the key. Where are you going? The difference is whether we repent or not. There'll be no company in hell. It'll be an unfriendly crowd. If we could hear them today, they would say, don't come to this awful place. It's terrible here. It is also called the hell of separation. In the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, it says, to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire to take vengeance on them that know not God, get that, know not God, and who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, they shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. Now I know the sinner is separated from God now, but there's not total separation. You that are disbelievers, you're enjoying the goodness of God. And to be eternally separated from God, that's future, when you're cut off from all things good. One of the torments of hell is to be eternally separated from God. If you die unrepentant, you'll sink into hell, and the separation is final. And you'll probably scream to make contact with God. God, where are you? But God will not answer. God will not answer you. You may cry out to him, say, I'm sorry, God. Please have mercy on me. Please forgive me now. You're too late. Too late. Bible says now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Too late. No light in hell, God is light. No love in hell, God is love. No goodness in hell, God is good. No mercy in hell, God is merciful. There'll be no blessing, no righteousness, no holiness shall ever be experienced in the awful quarters of hell. He will cast you off forever and leave you alone through all eternity. That's hell enough. That is hell. It's also called the hell of darkness. 2 Peter 2:4 talks about the chains of darkness. 2 Peter 2:17, the mist of darkness. Jude 13, the blackness of darkness. Matthew 8:12, the children of Israel that were unrepentant and ungodly, he said, will be cast into outer darkness. Can you imagine a place of everlasting fire and everlasting darkness? There'll be no good mornings. The sun doesn't rise there. No good nights. Every night is a horrible night. There'll be no days and nights. It'll be one eternal night. It is also a hell of unspeakable sorrow and grief. It'll be completely devoid of joy. There'll be no laughing, no joy, no happiness, no happy little child. There'll be nothing that delight and please and thrill. They're all wiped out forever for the doomed. It'll be indescribable woe and grief and misery, unspeakable, will fill the quarters of hell. It is a hell of memory, Luke 16. The lost rich man, it was said to him, "Son, remember." It'll be a place of memory. It might have been. Oh, if I just would have. Oh, so near, but I missed it. All eternity to regret the folly of your indecision. Remember how you turned Jesus away. The wooing of the Holy Spirit, the call of God, you said no. You'll remember the messages you sat under, the invitations you had to come to Jesus. You'll probably remember your mother's prayers and the good things, how you lived for the flesh. You did as you jolly well pleased. You'll remember all that. It is also a hell of hopelessness. Ephesians 2:12 says, if we're without Christ, and therefore without God, there's no hope. We have no hope in the world. You die without Jesus. You die as a disbeliever. You enter into a hell of hopelessness. Can you imagine how awful it would be to have hope forever gone? We live by hope. You get sick, you hope to get well. If your house burns down, you hope to build it again. If our business fails, we hope it'll do better next year. If a man's in jail, he hopes to get out. But if you enter hell without Jesus, there's no hope forever. No hope forever. Somebody has said, no hope is the saddest words in the English language. Saddest words in the English language. When all hope is lost. No hope. Someone would go to hell and announce that after 10,000 years it would burn out. There would no doubt be a jubilee in hell, but there'll be no such a thing. No one down there to preach salvation to you. There's no one there to witness to you. There's no Bible in the lost world. There are no promises there to comfort you. There are no songs of invitation or assurance. Hell is so horrible, God doesn't want one single sinner to go there. God never delights in the death of the wicked. Now, we talked about heaven a bit ago. We said it was a place where there were no tears, no death, no sorrow, no night, no pain, no defilement will enter heaven. But we looked at hell. It's a place of tears, weeping and wailing. It's eternal death, second death, separation. Death is separation. It's eternal. It's a place of sorrow. Hell is a place of sorrow. Hell is a place of darkness. Hell is a place of pain. Hell is a place that is filled with defiled people. But may I say to you that Jesus Christ makes the difference. He makes the difference. He bore all these. He shed tears for Jerusalem while he was here. No doubt he's shedding tears over many today. Christ experienced the tears. He had pain, the pain of rejection, the pain of refusal, and he had the pain on Calvary's cross. He experienced all of that. He had sorrow. He was a man of sorrows. He took our sins upon himself. He knew no sin, but he became sin for us. There was darkness over the whole world when he hung on the cross, and he experienced death. Death. Jesus Christ makes the difference. Where are you going? Heaven or hell? And make all the difference in the world what you do with Jesus. What you do with Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. May you bow your head right now, wherever you are, and say, Lord, I'm on my way to hell, but I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. I believe in you, dear Lord. I believe you paid the price for me. I believe you've shed your blood. You love me, and you're willing to extend mercy to me if I trust you. You may not understand the miracle that takes place, but God will do that. He will do that. And you can go to glory land with all the saints and be there through all eternity. May God bless you. Make the right decision today.
Where will you stay?
Eternity.